Right, BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher, 95 FM, DAB. Online, bbc.co.uk/tees. On the programme tonight, going to be talking Doctor Who. Catching up with Neil and Sue Perryman, creators of the Doctor Who blog Adventures with the Wife in Space, in which Sue, who is a complete non-Doctor Who fan, or at least was a complete non-Doctor Who fan, watches all of Doctor Who from the start. With her husband Neil, who is an insane obsessive and writes down her reactions as they go along. The blog's been a bit of a sensation, really. Stephen Moffat, Doctor Who's head writer, is a big fan, and well, we'll see how far they've got. Got John Williams here as well, Doctor Who fan and writer and critic from the Tachyon TV site as well. Hello, hello everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for. Oh, that's
hello,
at the start
Bob.
Of Blue Peter. That was lovely. Thank you very much. Good to see you all, and thanks for coming in. BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher. Right, we are talking about Doctor Who on the programme tonight. The new series is just around the corner. And, well, that was it Christmas last time we all did this? I guess it must have been, was it?
I think so.
Yes, Christmas.
Yeah. We were talking about the Adventures with the Wife in Space website, in which Sue Perryman, who wasn't a Doctor Who fan...
Still am.
..a year ago. You're still adamant that you're
well,
not?
Well, you know, I can't say yet. I'll tell you at the end. keep reading.
Sue's been watching Doctor Who from the start, from 1963 onwards. Of the last, is it about a year?
2 years nearly now.
Is it 2 years?
No, it's a year and a half, yeah.
How time flies just, when you're having fun.
Just feels
It'll
longer.
Be 2 years when we finish.
You said with a slightly glazed look in your eye.
The longing tone in the voice there.
When
we finish.
Sue and husband Neil Perryman here with me in the studio. John Williams as well from... are you still from Tachyon TV? Or is
well, no, Sue ruined all that.
Yoko ruined that.
Or Yoko, as we call her.
the spin-off website got more popular than the...
Well, that's one brutal
We're like wings. We're the wings of the website.
Yes, that's right. No, Tachyon is on hold. Tachyon was a sort of review site, really, it became. Mm. And that's on hold now because Neil's working on the Wife in Space thing. Mm. I'm working on a book, which can't talk about the details about, but because, you know, kind of big corporations will be desperate to get a piece of it.
Obviously.
But anyway, so I'm working on that. And I think once the Wife in Space blog's over in next year, we'll probably look at, if not Tachyon TV, Neil and I'll probably do something together again.
All right.
Probably not Doctor Who based.
No.
We've probably done that.
Blake 7.
Blake 7.
So tomorrow, people.
Star Maidens.
So last time we met was Christmas. And had you just finished the Patrick Troughton episode?
No, she was halfway through John Pertwee.
Right.
The Curse of Peladon, the last time we were here.
Well remembered. Right, okay. So how far have you got now?
Go on, Sue, where are we?
State of Decay, aren't we?
Part
4. Watch three parts, one more part to watch, and then we finish that one.
So this is pretty much right at the end of Tom Baker's.
We're at the fag end of the Baker years.
That's right, yes. And you've cracked the 1980s.
Yeah, we're into the 1980s. It's all glitzy and flashy and spangly and electronic.
A bit electronic, yeah. It's all right.
Okay. For those that didn't tune in at Christmas, you fools, remind us what made you start this whole damn crazy project.
I think it was I just wanted somebody's opinion about Doctor who wasn't a fan, really, to go through that journey without having any preconceptions about what they were going to see.
And he thought, she's Andy. She's here.
She'll do.
But it's a big commitment to sit down and watch. I assume you watch one every night, do you?
Yeah, the plan is we watch it one every night over tea.
Yeah.
And then Neil sort of, we have a little chat about it, and then Neil sort of writes it up for the blog. Sometimes if it's really good, we watch more than one.
Yeah.
If it's good, or if we have a busy day, we might miss one and watch two the next night. So
right.
We get through them, though, don't we?
Yeah.
It just... sometimes it's a slog, depending on what we're watching, but it's Tom Baker, he's doing okay. I'm getting a bit sick of Tom Baker, actually, now. I'm getting a bit...
he's been around a long time.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit fed up. I'm really looking forward to Peter Davison starting, so...
But that was it, because Tom Baker was my first Doctor that I remember, but for a long time I was unaware that they'd been previous Doctors, because I just... Tom was there for so long, he was there for 7 years, and I kind of grew up with him, I can understand that.
Yeah, I don't know, I just think he's... He's just lost a little bit. He's just not. He's not trying as hard as he was when I first started watching him. If you know what I mean. He just.
He had a lot of things on his mind.
Well,
a lot of things flowing through his body.
Very busy private life.
Hectic.
Was he not? Was his head not on the job?
He was not a well man in the season you're watching.
Really?
He's not in his final series, Tom Baker. Yeah, no, he genuinely wasn't. He was ill, wasn't he?
I don't know. Was he ill?
He had to have... Wait, see if you can spot the story in which his hair was permed.
Yeah, he was so ill he had to have his hair permed because it lost his curl.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're looking forward to Peter Davison, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Peter Davison, yeah, because he's a bit easier on the eyes. He's a better actor, in my opinion.
No, he is a very good actor,
I think
Davison,
he's really good, Peter Davison, yeah.
So what have you made of the Doctors so far? You've done... well, you're on your fourth Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah,
William Hartnell.
Yeah, I like. Well, no, I didn't like William Hartnell very much. I thought he was a bit of a morny old man.
Yeah,
I'll be careful what I say because I know it's on radio. I did like Patrick Troughton a lot. I thought Patrick Troughton was really good, actually. Yeah.
Patrick Troughton's the first of the.
I like him.
The kind of Doctors that plays the Doctor as we now know the Doctor.
Yeah,
I think he's a sort of genial eccentric.
I could watch him all day, really. You know, he's just so easy to watch compared to Tom Baker. Sometimes I look at him and I think, God, you're just not trying, or you're thinking of something else, or you don't know your lines, you're making it up, or you don't agree with what you're saying. He doesn't look sincere enough.
Okay.
And he's Patrick Troughton. So I was watching a recent DVD release, The Crotons. And Patrick Troughton is so Matt West.
Hello, Matt West.
If you're listening, Matt, for some reason I've got you on my mind. I wonder why. But he's so Matt Smith.
He is.
He's so Matt Smith. It's ridiculous. You can. So I think you're right. Really, all of this kind of Doctors that as we know them today really kind of come much more from Patrick Troughton than anybody else.
Yeah. Matt Smith has said that himself, hasn't he? That he watched The Tomb of the Cybermen, I think, when he first got the job and was really knocked out by it.
Yeah. I think Matt Smith's been influenced by Adric.
That's my feel. Controversial.
Well, I don't think he influences performance. But when you look at Adric and he's got that big smile, you know, he's got them facial expressions.
Quite taken by Matthew Waterhouse's Adric,
no,
aren't you?
I'm not taken by him, but I think he had a bit. Me and Ian had a little conversation after we watched it, and we agreed that his acting wasn't great, but. when Neil talked to me about the circumstances around how he got the job and why he was there, I really started to feel sorry for him a little bit.
I did. He's so inexperienced
He's a massive Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
You know, who wouldn't do what he did? If someone said to Neil at that age, Neil, you're going to be a Doctor Who companion.
I've done anything.
He'd
like to see Neil do it now.
And it's interesting.
I've seen him do it.
I think Neil would be fantastic.
Hang on, what? Does he pretend to be an assistant when he's
I actually look more like the Master now because my beard's starting to go grey.
Is it the Master?
Yeah, it is. I've got flecks of grey in my beard, exactly where Roger Delgado has it. And it's I blame the blog. So I'm actually turning into the Master.
Have you got any cushions we can throw, actually? We need some cushions to throw around.
Has it changed your lives? Because you've put yourselves out there and it's become very, very successful. Do you feel like you're celebrities in fandom now?
I feel like there's some pressure on us sometimes, isn't there? And we can't just have a week off and just, you know, not bother. I feel like we have to keep going and there's a bit of pressure.
I think there's more pressure on you, though, isn't it? Because really, all I have to do is sit and watch it.
Yeah.
And you've got to write it.
It's easy for you.
It's easy for me. So there's more pressure on you, I think, to get it written up and things like that.
I don't think it's changed our lives, though, has it? It's brought us closer together, I think. Because
we do spend
a lot more time together and I suppose we're sharing a lot more time in terms of talking about my interests, really, and that's good for me.
It's catastrophic for me.
But remember, I did live in a caravan for three and a half years for us, so it all evens out in the end.
While Sue lived in the house. Yes.
No, that was the plan. Neil let me, you know, do a little project, and
yeah.
I made him live in a caravan for 3.5 years, so that's the least I can do, Bob, really.
Yeah,
paper. And it has brought us back. I think it really has brought us closer together because, you know, I think a lot of people, they do spend time together in the house, but to actually spend time together is a different thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we do every day for 20 minutes, which is good.
I didn't realise she was as funny as she was, so...
that's a kind of double-edged compliment, isn't it? That's backhanded in a really serious way.
Very passive-aggressive.
All that you've been together.
All that getting closer together has just been rendered.
You've ruined it.
I think the great thing is that you don't actually read. Do you read the blog itself when he's written it up?
No, yeah. When Neil writes it, he said, I've published it. and then I read it just to make sure he hasn't said anything really bad about me. And sometimes I check his spelling, but that's about it.
But you don't read the comments that anybody leaves.
No.
So you don't interact with any other fans at all.
No, I read it straight away, and then that's it. I pour it down.
That's
and then
John's
Neil,
job.
And then Neil tells me that it's going mental or it's kicking off, or you've upset somebody, but don't worry about it, or. You know, that sort of thing.
Because when you came in at Christmas, you're adamant that you didn't really care what anybody thought of your opinion.
No.
You don't?
No, because at the end of the day, I mean, Neil's writing it up. This is his thing. It's not mine. It's like, you know, it does. Who cares what I think? It's what Neil's perception of what I think, I guess, is important. And Doctor Who, you know, is a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't really care what people think, but, you know...
You don't upset anybody.
I don't upset anybody deliberately, but if I want to say something, I'll just say it, because I've got nothing to lose, I guess, and that's the good thing, because I'm not in that circle of friends. Having said that, though, we have met a few people from the Doctor Who world just sort of by chance, haven't we, recently, and it's a bit,
strange.
It's a bit strange.
Who have you met?
Well, we just happened to be in a theatre in London, and Nev Fountain and Nicola Bryant, she played a companion of Colin Baker's, Perry.
Yeah.
And they just happened to be there.
Yeah, I haven't got to that stage yet.
So, and we went for a drink, and it just felt a bit weird, because I tried to, like, you know, shield Sue from that world, because there's going to come a point where she's going to have to talk about these actors and that, and it's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was she nice, Nicola?
Oh, she was lovely.
Oh, she was lovely. Yeah, really nice.
She's been on this programme a few times. She's charming.
She was lovely. Yeah. She was really, really nice. Yeah.
So
really
you're just
lovely.
Praying to God she's good now, aren't
you? Yeah, so I'm hoping I don't have to say anything bad. I don't want to fall out with her before I've made friends with her. So.
Have you had weird stuff from fans? Have people been genuinely annoyed with any of the stuff that Sue's said? I can't ask Sue because she won't have a clue. Or do you tell her?
We had some weird comments about our daughter. Yeah, it was probably my fault for putting a picture of her online, but yes. I just did it innocently.
I think you were very innocent. As soon as I saw the picture of your daughter, as we'll call her, we don't want to start anything off on this.
No.
As well, I thought, oh dear, this is going to be ugly, and it was quite. It was quite ugly. That's... There's nothing worse than the sort of late 30s, 40s year old men.
How old's your daughter?
23.
Right. Okay.
24 now. Just
24. Right.
Yeah. So it's a bit scary, that, yeah. But no, apart from that, it's been really good. Everyone's been really positive and really encouraging and keeping us going. If it wasn't for the people who read it, we obviously...
wouldn't do it.
Yeah, we'd give it up.
Of course you would, of course we would. Because we get a lot of nice... You tell me you get a lot of nice comments about how, you know, how people enjoy the blog. And what's interesting for me is when Neil tells me that people are starting to watch it the same time as we are. So they, you know, like...
Yeah,
you know,
they'll
experience it with us together.
So people are following you and doing the same episodes at the same time.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What I love about it, it's such a genuinely, nearly always positive experience, a blog. It's good fun. It's encouraging people to watch it as well. People rethink what they can reconsider their views on the programme. I've certainly done that. I know loads of people have done that when they're watching it. So when you do get slight odd things, like one of the things that just happened recently, which is a bit peculiar, is people on the comments have started saying, well, actually, I think Doctor Who was just rubbish from now on.
Yeah.
So maybe
from
it's time
1980-ish.
To... Yeah. In the 80s, and this is the death of Doctor Who for me. And there's a slightly solipsistic view that this is, you know, it should end here and this is my opinion. And in fact, one said something along the lines of, I would guess that the experiment's going to wind itself up now. That's where I stopped enjoying it. And you get that solipsistic thing sometimes with fans. But I think that's really in the minority.
Yeah.
I tend to find the point at which people say, oh, Doctor Who was rubbish from then on, is the point at which they personally were about 14.
Yeah.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah. Strange timing, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hormones.
Quite. All right, I'm going to play a track and then we'll come back and talk some more. This is new from Madness from their forthcoming album, and I think it's fabulous. Death of a Rude Boy. BBC T's Bob Fisher here on 95 FM DAB and online bbc.co.uk/T's. Talking about Doctor Who tonight and the Adventures with the Wife in Space website run by Neil and Sue Perryman. John Williams here as well, Doctor Who fan, writer. Sue's gone to make a cup of tea.
Of course.
Shocking, isn't it?
She's reenacting scenes from the moon base.
we didn't press her into service here. She did volunteer. She's been gone an awful long time.
I know, I'm thirsty. I don't know.
She's got a tray as well. Open the door, John.
Can I come in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fabulous. Thank you very much.
It's like going from home here, Bob, isn't it?
That's glorious.
Don't have the sugar, though.
Feathers all
night. Don't have any sugar, because it gives you big black veins, like in moon bases. So.
Thank you very much. Is Stephen Moffat still following the blog?
Is,
do you know?
He
has
is.
He been in touch?
Yes,
recently?
He's been in touch a couple of weeks ago.
Was he?
He actually gave me some. Oh yeah, I was checking to whether to see Buck Rogers went up against the Leisure Hive, and he confirmed it for me. He's like my own personal Wikipedia.
That's because you were very honest in mentioning that. That
I've had a lot of hate from this.
Have you read?
Yeah,
seriously,
from him mainly.
All right, okay. Yeah, the Leisure Hive, Tom Baker story from 1980, was ITV kind of deliberately went out to scupper Doctor Who.
And succeeded.
With Buck Rogers, yeah. Which they put up against it directly.
Biddy, biddy, biddy.
You thanks. Oh, no.
Me, biddy, biddy.
You don't even know what it is.
I used to watch it. I used to watch half of it before I turned over to Doctor Who. Like a loyal fan. Even Megloss.
So, Neil, you watched Buck Rogers instead of Doctor Who.
I did. I remember vividly seeing the trailer for the first series of Buck Rogers and just being blown away by it, and it had proper spaceships in it and it looked like Star Wars.
Exactly, because it was a couple of years after Star Wars and that's as a kid, that's what
you wanted.
And it
looked amazing and had skin-tight lycra and disco dancing. What more could you ask for?
And, of course, directly led pretty much to Doctor Who being moved from Saturdays.
Yeah.
Did it really? I suppose.
Pretty much. I mean, they knew there were, and they also, there were other reasons they wanted to try out programmes in the early evenings after that. But no, it was profound. And it's quite funny because ITV only got their act together 18 years after the programme had started by showing the same programme across all the regions. And the first time they did it, it blew Doctor completely to pieces. So it's always a slightly nervous thing about that. I mean, that's a slightly broad brush stroke, but it's pretty much true. Mm. But as soon as they actually got their act together, Doctor Who was so badly damaged by it that people started for the first time questioning its position and its stability.
That's the thing. Doctor Who fans are still a little bit nervous about the future of Doctor Who, aren't they? Permanently. It was in a state of neurosis about whether the programme's going to come back every year.
It's in our DNA, isn't it, really?
Probably
from
that time.
I was going to say,
but
before 1980, it probably never even occurred to Doctor Who fans that it wouldn't come back.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Mm. Hey, great theme music there, Buck Rogers.
I
suppose you've got
it,
have you?
Do you know what, Neil? I've got a Fraser Hines B-side with me tonight, but I haven't got the theme to Buck Rogers. No, damn. No. How did it go?
Oh, I'll sing it later.
All right.
There was a singing version.
Yes, it was. Because I was into it. I got the paperback.
Yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed when I saw the pilot and the thing. I remember saying to a friend once in the 90s we were watching, I said, that didn't happen in the book.
Yeah.
Too much hilarity from everybody else. I don't know why.
It's a bit like the theme to Dallas. It's got lots of strings in it. It's
all right, nice. Okay. Nice.
Second series was really odd. No. Buck Rogers.
Will you do Adventures with the Wife and Buck Rogers when you finish this?
When Gary Coleman's in
that
it.
Sounds like a Barnard Bob.
As you touched on this a little bit earlier, John, but as Doctor Who fans, yourself and Neil, are there stories that you love that Sue has completely trashed? Or stories that you can't stand that Sue has really liked?
Yes. Nightmare of Eden, that's it. She gave Nightmare of Eden the same mark as The Ark in Space.
I thought it was a better mark, actually.
It might have been better. Yeah.
I like the Nightmare of Eden better than The Ark in Space.
There you go,
Bob.
Yeah, you see. Well, no, I think this is interesting because I think a lot of the comments of Sue, it's like Sue's giving people the right to suddenly come out with an opinion they may have held under a bushel a little
bit
before.
It's like a pride march.
Like your
Nightmare of Eden march.
Let's do a bomb.
It is. It's like you're liberating people.
I can. I've come out.
Yeah,
I really like the Nightmare of Eden.
Everyone likes Adric now.
Give him time.
Oh, bless him. I still worry about that boy.
So do
he's 50.
I still worry about him.
He is 50. Do you think of yourself? You've now seen, I mean, I'm thinking of myself as a hardcore Doctor Who fan. You've now seen quite a lot of stories that I've never seen all the way through, and you're still adamant that you're not a Doctor Who fan.
Well,
because you know a lot about the series now. I reckon you could match most fans now of the stories that you've seen.
I may have seen as many as a lot of fans, but my ability to remember the detail, because I'm not a fan, is where I would sort of fall short, really, Bob, I think.
Okay.
It's just, I think if you're a fan of something, you want to know more, and your knowledge, your hunger for that knowledge, and it just grows, doesn't it? And your appreciation grows. And I do appreciate the programme, and I appreciate what it's done over the years, and I appreciate, the BBC and what they were trying to do and all the things that were going on around that time. But I don't think I would watch them again. Now, that means I'm not a fan, doesn't it?
There's not a single story of the whole lot that you've seen so far that you think.
I'd probably watch War Games again.
Wow, 10 parts.
I would watch one again. We like games.
I know, it's great. I'm just can't believe you watch it again.
I'm just laughing. You're saying you're not a fan, and you're saying yeah. you're having to watch the war games again.
No, but what I mean
some
is,
fans that would blanch at that.
Yeah, but what I mean is, I wouldn't sort of want to buy the Doctor Who magazines on go online and look. I wouldn't want to do that because it just doesn't interest
but
me.
But having said that, you are completely obsessed with Ian Levine at the moment.
I am actually. Well, only because you told me about him, and it's from a documentary sort of head I've got on at the minute. I'm thinking he'd be a fabulous person to do a documentary about. And
he's, we should explain, Ian Levine was a huge Doctor Who fan and a record producer who became involved with the series in the 80s as a continuity advisor.
That's right.
And has been involved with the series kind of on and off ever since, doing bits and pieces. So
he
fascinates you.
He does. He's an amazing character. And, you know, we listened to a podcast last night on the way to the... Neil made me listen to it. On the way,
you're not a
you
fan.
You loved it. You enjoyed
you're not
it.
A fan.
I did enjoy it, actually.
You made me, when we got out of the car, you made me put it on.
I did, actually,
so
because he's such a fascinating character.
And I've listened to the same podcast and I thought it was really interesting.
Wasn't it interesting?
Well.
Wasn't it really, really interesting? And I think he's just one of these people who I think... Well, I don't know him personally, but from what I've heard, I don't think a lot of people like him. A lot of people not necessarily get on with him. I think that a lot of people have a bit of problem with him.
Right.
And obviously I don't, because I don't even know the guy. But I think for what he's done for the Doctor Who fans and for... I think he's done a good thing.
This is more controversial than Adric.
Yeah.
It is. Why? What's he done that's so wrong?
He's lovely.
I'm sure it is. I don't know him either. I really enjoyed the podcast.
Really
I thought
like
he came over really well.
He's a passionate man.
Exactly.
Who wears his heart on his sleeve
and has had
a few fallings out with some people who probably have another tale to tell. But it was a fascinating podcast.
It was.
And part two out tomorrow, I believe.
Do you fancy some instrumental music from one of the Peter Cushing films?
Yes, please.
You've watched them, haven't you? You've done them on the blog?
Yeah, we have.
All right. The Malcolm Lockyer Orchestra and the Eccentric Doctor Who.
Come, Mr. Just for you. Well, I've a talent to amuse. Pure mystery. Just for you. Well, I've a talent to amuse you all. It's pure.
A John Pertwee B-side? No, who wouldn't want a John Pertwee B-side on a Monday night? That's pure mystery. And before that, the Malcolm Lockyer Orchestra and the Eccentric Doctor Who. From the soundtrack to the 1965 film Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Yeah, which C refused to mark.
I've got some bits and pieces to read out here, actually. Let me read these. Auntie Celia has posted on the Facebook wall and says, "What a sumptuous addition tonight's programme is." "The song by poor dear Scott McKenzie was lovely." And there's a bit about Tony Blackburn that I can't really read. "I am delighted the wife in space ducklings are with you. I have been following the blog with a keen interest. I should like to ask, dear Susan..." This is you. "Which of the alien creatures you have seen so far would you most like to return to meet Mr. Matt Smith's Doctor Who?"
Ooh, good question. I don't know. Ice Warriors, maybe?
All right, okay.
Maybe.
That'll never happen.
It'll never happen. No.
It's highly unlikely to me.
Would it? Will it happen?
What is it about the Ice Warriors that particularly tickled you?
They don't really tickle me. It's just one point what I can remember. It's probably the only one I can remember.
Tickled. Those horrible big claws.
That's what they do. They're just
drink holder hands. Yeah.
And then suddenly the sonic lance goes off. It'd be a nightmare.
Do you know, I like the monsters who don't look like monsters. I like the sort of... the more human sort of monster. I think that's much more scary than
the master should come back. Like, by a different actor.
Well, I don't think anybody would be better than... what's his name from, you know...
John Sim.
John Sim was great as the master, wasn't he? I mean, how could you sort of get anybody better than that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do like, because it's become a recurring feature of the blog, is that you kind of see the master in a lot of places where
I
he
do,
isn't.
I do, yeah. I know, well, the thing is, I don't know what he looks like now. Do I? He could be anybody. He could be lurking about just hiding around the corner. I don't know.
There's a counter on the front page of the blog, isn't there? For how many times?
I think it's 47 times we're up to it.
You've said, is that the master?
Well, you know, he looks sometimes... Well, looks like, yeah.
There's a lot of villains with goatees coming around, aren't there? So it's easy.
I said I went to see Darren Brown in London, didn't I?
Yeah. Stewart and Darren Brown is the master. I wouldn't rule that out. He's done a bit of acting, Darren Brown.
He'd be good.
He'd be very good.
Has it been a kind of fairly plain sailing experience? Have you come close to stopping at any point?
No, I don't. I think there's been times where I've just thought, oh God, I just can't bear to watch another one. But I think we're 75% the way through now.
Yeah.
There's no way we're going to stop until we finish it.
There was that time I caught you watching The Tomorrow People. Things got a bit ropey then.
Did you feel like she was cheating on you?
I did, no. But seriously, no, I think that we had some trouble with our cat once, and that was probably the closest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sort of put things in perspective, didn't it?
Really? Yeah, it was sort of backwards upon the vets. And
but the cat's all right now, so everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. To be honest with you, I'll be able to look back. I was just saying to Neil, wasn't I the other night? I was saying, you know, Neil, when we get older, older than we are, you know, when you look back at certain times, you think, you know, there were good times.
Yeah.
I reckon we'll look back at this period in our life and think...
That wasn't one of them.
No, I think we'll look back at that period and
it
think...
It all went up from there.
As soon as we stopped watching, Doctor...
It was the beginning of the end.
No, but I think it's a definitive moment in our lives, really, because...
Oh God, that's really sweet.
And I say that for a few reasons. One is... Obviously, because we spend time together and we sort of, which I think after 15, 20 years of being somebody, I think you need something to freshen your marriage up and rewrite. I think that's I could think of better ways.
And that something was the horns of Nymon.
Oh, no, stop it. No, but I honestly think it's been a very positive sort of move. And I think we look back when we're old and we look back and think, you know, that wasn't that bad.
I think it's
been a positive thing for everybody.
Oh, play a record.
What are your favourite role playing scenes?
Stop it.
BBCT's Bob Fisher here. Still got Neil and Sue Perryman and John Williams here with me in the studio. So new series of Doctor Who starting in a couple of weeks. But do we think 1st of September?
Hasn't been confirmed yet.
Has it not?
The Guardian yesterday said it was this Saturday, but they've obviously got that.
I've got it hopelessly wrong.
Yeah. It's definitely not on this Saturday.
We can
confirm that.
Yeah. I hope it's not.
No, because you're busy this Saturday.
Yeah, we are busy this Saturday, yes. But 1st of September, I think it's coming back.
Because I think, isn't it definitely being shown on the 8th in the States?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
There's something happening in the States on the 8th, so it has to be before that.
So that would work.
Right, okay.
I'm a bit disappointed, actually.
Why?
I wanted it to start a bit later.
Well, this is... Because Stephen Moffat, at one point, said that he liked Doctor Who on Dark Nights.
Exactly.
And then we moved to an autumnal spot, but there's only 5 episodes going out, so it's going to be done by the end of September.
Exactly. The clocks go back, I think, the week after the last episode.
Yes, yeah.
Ridiculous.
Hold it back a little bit. Show it in November.
Yeah. So it'll be closing the curtains again, as usual.
Yeah. It's not his fault, though, is it?
Well...
It's not my fault.
Say that, Sue!
You leave him alone.
I mean, it looks absolutely amazing, doesn't it, the series? I mean, I think...
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in terms of the use of the... In the Western one, that looks fairly spectacular in terms of the desert scenes and so on.
Mm.
So, from a visual point of view, it looks fantastic.
And of course, the Western's Sue's fault, I believe, isn't it?
Yep.
Is that right? Why is that, Sue?
I don't know why. I mean, I think I just liked... there was one in particular called the Gunslingers?
No. Oh, you're so
You're not far off.
Someone had guns...
Go on,
Sue. Fighters.
Yay!
It was guns for that. Yeah, so I really enjoyed that one. It was really, really nice. It was very camp. I quite liked that
one.
You said
Stephen Moffat should make a Western.
Yeah, and he
did
has.
You?
Yeah.
He does on the blog, is it?
Yes, it's a non-blog, and it's actually the date fits.
Do you
perfectly
reckon?
Well.
Come on.
Nah, he wouldn't have. He reads
the blog.
Yeah, he does read the blog, but I don't think he'd be listening to me.
He must have been desperate that day.
Yeah,
he
was.
start chucking in other far more outlandish stuff.
Return of Adric.
See what pops up.
Why not?
The return of Adric with his brother Varsh.
Yes.
So Adric's 50 now. What would he? Is he all right?
He's fine.
So don't worry. He's fine.
Nothing bad happens.
We saw him in Newcastle.
We saw him exactly. We were chatting away to him. He was sitting at our table in Newcastle. Yeah, he's fine.
Okay, good.
He's fine. He's having a good time.
Good.
Excellent.
I'm happy about that. I'll sleep good. Easy tonight now.
He has flashbacks, obviously. He has flashbacks.
Yeah, to meeting you in Newcastle.
But he was fine until he got to Newcastle.
All right, I'll play a couple of tracks and then we'll come back and waffle on further. This is... should we have a Fraser Hines B-side?
Oh,
or is
please.
It too early for that? Is it?
It's never
think?
Too early.
Or all too right. late. It's always just right.
From 1968, Punch and Judy Man. Oh, no, is that, yeah, it is. There we are. Right, first of all, Fraser Hines and Punch and Judy Man, a B-side from 1968. Second track you heard there, Doctor Who theme, obviously, by Don Harper's Homo Electricus.
I've got a signed copy of that.
signed by the Electricus itself?
Yes. Amorphous mass of tentacles.
Again, I love it when you talk dirty, John. That's from 1973. What we do know is happening for the 50th anniversary is that Mark Gatiss is writing a dramatisation of the initial conception of Doctor Who in 1963, of how the series first came into being.
Adventures in Time and Space, I believe it's called.
Yes.
Hour and a half, it's going to
go like the Coronation Street thing.
Exactly.
That was really good, wasn't it?
That was great. Yeah.
If it's anything like as good as that, then we're in for a treat, I think. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be in some way.
I want Sue to be a non-speaking bit part in that thing. I want her to play the old mother.
What, one of the Tribe of Gum?
Yes.
Do you know?
There's no speaking lines.
Do you know? I am here, you know.
Do you know what? Sue has come on here tonight and said that this has been one of the happiest times of her life,
you know,
and
I mean?
It's brought you so close together, and she's never felt so delighted to be married to you, Neil.
Take it back. She could be a zombie.
All right, this is... do you know what? I didn't even think about this when I... This is just a current single that's out today. This is Call the Doctor, and it's called Wrecking Ball. Second track this evening from the BBC Introducing website. That's Little Fat Babies, Jasmine Padgett from Hartlepool, who you can find at littlefatbabies.bandcamp.com and the BBC Introducing site, as always, there for you at bbc.co.uk/introducing. And it transpires. Sue, you know Jasmine Padgett, don't you?
Yes, I think I do, actually. I didn't know her second name, because I just know them as Kiwi. So Jasmine Kiwi, I call it. I know her dad.
From New Zealand, then?
From New Zealand, I know Jasmine quite well, and I actually seen Jasmine on Saturday evening. She's going to actually play a few songs for me.
Crikey. Yeah. Well, there you go. It sounded a bit like that, I imagine.
Fabulous. Just you on your own.
Just me on my own. Yeah, private, no. We have a little soiree, aren't we? And Jasmine's going to play a few songs for our friends.
Yeah. Fabulous.
Fabulous.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Jasmine, I'll see you there. Does that sound a bit creepy?
Yes.
I'll just say hello.
Don't worry, our dad will be there to make sure she's all right.
Yeah, I'm not that creepy. I'm quite
I've just played your record now. I'll see you at the party.
Oh, horrible is that? Right, BBC Tees with me, Bob Fisher, Neil and Sue Perryman, John Williams still here with me in the studio. So the blog's going to continue to the end of the original run until the end of Sylvester McCoy's.
We're going to do Paul McGann.
All right, okay,
that's where we finish
the film. Yeah,
Paul McGann, and that's going to be probably middle of December, I think, just before Christmas.
Brilliant, lovely Christmas present. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you.
No temptation at all to carry on and do the new series.
Not from me.
Well, I wouldn't mind, because I think it would be a lot easier ride than what we've had. I mean, it's action-packed, you know, there's some good stories there. It's going to be lovely to see.
I guess you'd have to put your 1960s TV head on and kind of filter it through that.
Exactly, I can just enjoy it. It'll be a nice ride.
It's an argument for another time, I think.
It's not going to happen, is it?
Nah. Well, I'd like it to.
You can watch them by yourself.
Do it, John.
Yeah, John.
I
think it'll just lose something, because you've seen all of them.
Yeah.
And then you've seen them again.
I say, is that part of the fun of the blog, is that you've not seen these before? You're coming to them from a non-fan perspective.
That's the angle. There's not much of an angle with the new series, I don't think.
See, the interesting thing for me is I watched Doctor... I mean, obviously, everybody knows what Doctor Who is about, but I started watching it properly when Christopher Eccleston sort of was the Doctor, and David Tennant. So I enjoyed it from that point of view. So watching the old ones and having a reference point is quite interesting.
That's true.
You know, I sort of quite found that interesting as well, but
Well, what better way to round off the evening than with a bit of Irish psychedelia from 1968. This is Orange Machine, Three Jolly Little Dwarfs.
In your eyes, big boy. In your eyes.
Crikey, eh?
We're off. We're aflame there.
So that's Will Young's version of it. No, Mae West. Who'd have thought it? Mae West from a 1972 album, in which Mae West was 79 years young when she recorded
that. Is that a microphone in your pocket, or is it just a piece of seaming book?
Before that, Orange Machine and Three Jolly Little Dwarfs from 1968. Right, I think we're done here. Thank you, Neil and Sue and John, for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
We should say the website, just at wifeinspace.com.
Com.
Yeah.
That's it.
Next story.
Warriors Gate. Could be a fun one.
Could be a good one.
What a divisive one, isn't it?
Yeah. Fabulous.
All right. Well, look, cheers for coming in, as always.
Thanks. It's been great.
We'll catch you soon, no doubt. No programme tomorrow night. If you tune in tomorrow, you can hear a full match commentary on Middlesbrough employing their unique brand of total football at home to Bonn. Burnley. Wednesday night. Got Biscuit Head and the Biscuit Badgers playing live in the studio on Wednesday night. This isn't like the
Jammy Dodgers
fantasy. This is all actually true. I leave you with this. This is New from the Darkness, out today as a single. Everybody have a good time. Toodle-pip.